Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but five loaves and two fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, taking the five loaves and the two fish. He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. This is the reading of the word. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Since we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your divine mouth, make us hunger for heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Has anyone here seen a magic show? Maybe, yeah. Yeah. I mean, most of us have. At the very least, we've seen it on TV, right? I've seen a few, like as a kid, magicians were fun to have at parties, like birthday parties. And I thought magic was a lot of fun when I was a kid. And I also thought it was fun just to trick people with things, right? I know, it's so out of character. But I guess I also really liked to spoil the illusions for other people by pointing out, like, when I saw the card go up the magician's sleeve. I like magic. I like illusions. I got to see Penn and Teller perform live a few years ago, and they're so good at it. Like, even though I know they're not magic, right? I know that they're performing illusions, but they still get me every single time. I can never see them put the card up their sleeve or how they're untying themselves underwater. I don't get it. So magic is cool. But miracles are different than magic. In a miracle, there's no sleight of hand. There aren't books that you can buy telling you how to perform them. I did have a chemistry teacher once try to tell me what it would take to turn water into wine. I still didn't quite get it. Miracles can only come from God. And now I know what I'm about to say is just a little bit controversial, but I think that the feeding of the 5,000 is a little bit both miracle and magic. I think there was something from God, and I think there was also a little bit of sleight of hand. But let's sort of start at the beginning. So in Matthew, the passage just before this, Matthew describes the brutal execution of John the Baptist. And then the passage that we start with today, Jesus is hearing the news about John's execution. John was unjustly incarcerated. He was given the death penalty by Herod Antipas. And for greed and just for pleasure, John's head was literally served on a silver platter. And Jesus must have been absolutely grief-stricken. And I would imagine maybe a little scared, too. John wasn't just a good friend. John was the cousin who danced with Jesus in their respective wombs upon meeting for the first time. John was Jesus' messenger, his compatriot, his forerunner. I think you might understand that Jesus would probably like a little time to mourn, to process what has just happened. And so Jesus tries to retreat. He tries to find somewhere that he can go and be by himself. But word travels quickly. You know, the Israelites were, you know, on Twitter telling people where Jesus was going to be next. They're constantly looking at their phones, getting their GPS. But yeah, the word travels quickly, and they get wind that Jesus has come to this deserted place, and it's now filled with a crowd. A crowd so overwhelming and full of need. Even in the midst of his own grief, Jesus is just filled with compassion, and he heals them. And I imagine the disciples are also feeling a bit of grief, and they're grieving John's death. They probably want a little bit of alone time too. And they think that they've found the perfect excuse for dismissing these people. Would you look at the time? We're so happy you came, but we weren't really expecting this many people. Find ourselves unprepared. How embarrassing. So I guess you're going to want to head back to town and get some dinner before everything closes up. It may sound like the disciples were a little heartless, but I don't think that that's the case here. I think they were genuinely concerned about the crowd and the people. The crowd isn't pictured as, you know, like starving and destitute, or that they're trying to get something for nothing. They just want to be around Jesus. And it just happens to be around dinner time. And the disciples want to make sure that they get some food. And they know they don't have any. So they ask Jesus to send the crowd away into town so that they can eat. But Jesus has another idea. Jesus says, "No, you feed the people." Even though Jesus originally came out here to be alone, he's not willing to turn the crowd away. And if the disciples give these people something to eat, they don't have to leave. Jesus, we have nothing. I mean, we have these 5 loaves and these 2 fish, but that's barely enough to feed us, let alone thousands of people. But 5 loaves and 2 fish isn't nothing. So Jesus tells them to bring what they've got, and he tells the crowd, sit down on the grass, we'll take care of it. And this is where the magic, or the miracle, happens. He looks up as he's breaking the bread and he blesses it and he gives praise to God, expressing trust for God's providing. And then he gives the bread back to the disciples to disperse to the crowd. We don't get a lot of detail here. There's no indication at this point that Jesus physically changed the loaves of bread in any way. No one mentions the baskets feeling heavier after the blessing or looking more full or anything like that. So maybe the magic or the miracle didn't happen yet. I find it really interesting that in most of the Bibles that I've read, this passage, it has a little title on it that says Jesus feeds 5,000, or, you know, something along those lines. But Jesus didn't feed anyone that day. He had the disciples do it. And that in and of itself sounds like a miracle to me. Because have you ever tried to get 12 people on the same page and then have them implement what you're asking? Because I have a hard enough time with 6 of yens at a time. The disciples pass around the baskets. Everyone there, well over 5,000 people, ate until they were full. Not just like a nibble here. And there were still 12 baskets of food left over from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Either those loaves were each the size of a full-grown adult, and the fish were 2-ton beluga sturgeon, or some other extraordinary sleight of hand happened, or a bona fide miracle occurred. I will not deny the possibility of the loaves and fishes multiplying. I will not deny that. Jesus engaged in much less believable miracles in which I do not doubt. But I also won't discount that a miracle of sharing happened that day, and that the people in attendance were inspired to offer up whatever they had initially kept hidden in their travel bags. Jesus's generosity evoked their generosity. All right, so what's so miraculous about sharing? Like, it can't be that hard to share a few bites of bread with the folks sitting next to you at a picnic. But if you're not sure if you or your family will have anything to eat tomorrow, if you give away a few bites of bread or a sandwich today, that's a big deal. There's a scarcity mindset happening. And even in the U.S. today, we have a bit of a scarcity mindset. We not only have to protect what we currently have, but we have to consider grasping for more and more. Because if somebody else gets it, we don't get it. And this mindset tells us that we have to look after our own interests, because surely nobody else will. When that sense of scarcity is alleviated, when it's turned into this sense of plenty, when we feel like there's a safety net to catch us if we fall, when we see other people sharing, we're more willing to turn our pockets inside out, to give everything because we trust that there's more where that came from. The disciples thought that feeding these people was impossible. They wanted to turn away because it was such an overwhelming prospect. We do that so often. The problems of the world seem so huge. What could I possibly do? I'd rather just pretend it doesn't exist. The need outweighs the resources many, many times over. And we've all felt that at one time or another. But when the disciples followed Jesus and worked together, there was enough. There wasn't just enough, there was more than enough. So if we too join together in unity and in faithfulness, God will be with us, miraculously breaking through in the most unlikely places, loving us, guiding us, and providing for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.